Shalom, Mishpocha. Shalom, family. Mishpocha is a Hebrew word. It means family, and we're the Mishpocha, the family with a Jewish heart, made up of Jewish and non-Jewish people, where the middle wall of separation has come down to form one new man. Getting ready, Mishpocha, to blow the grandest shofar, oh, the grandest trumpet in Zion. We want everyone everywhere to hear the good news. We want everyone everywhere to be red hot for the Messiah. My guest is red hot for the Messiah. His name is Don Dickerman. I'm speaking to him at his home in Bedford, Texas. He's a Baptist minister that went into over 850 prisons over a 20-year period, saw thousands of inmates saved, but they kept going back to prison. Genuinely born-again saved people. It was like they went in one door and then came in the other door. And he got so frustrated one day, he just broke down sobbing in his bed and he said, "Lord, make me a deliverer." And he didn't even understand what he was praying because he didn't have a grid for the supernatural being a Baptist minister. But a prophecy came upon him and he had never heard a prophecy before. And then when he started speaking, people at every service started getting healed. He didn't even know how to pray for anyone. He didn't pray for anyone to be healed, but it's just the presence of God started pouring out of him. And also in this vision that he had, there was oil coming out of him for people to be set free of anything that's unclean. And so I asked him, how in the world, I understand how you got in the healing ministry because you had nothing to do with it, but in effect, Don Dickerman, I think you had nothing to do with it when you got into the deliverance ministry either.
Oh, yeah, that's for sure. That was not something I was looking for.
I mean, you had set up an appointment to pray for a female inmate, and an experienced man in deliverance was going to show up. They didn't show up. You're stuck. What did you do? Call it off?
No, you know, I thought about it. I was in Canada, and she was there, and she, the story about this lady said is she was a former Satan worshiper and was raised in a satanic home and with all kinds of ritualistic abuse, and it's a long story. Probably by far the most dramatic deliverance I ever had was my first one, but it was a situation where she had been saved in prison, and the night that I preached there, she came at the altar call and basically begged for deliverance, knowing she had demons. So we were there. We'd made arrangements through the prison, and they gave us a conference room, actually where a meeting room for their staff, and it was just me. And
just out of curiosity, what made her think that she needed deliverance?
Oh, well, she worshipped demons. She knew what she was dealing with. She was actually the head of a demonic cult in Ontario that's actually worldwide, a cult called the Brotherhood. She was being groomed, she says, to be the bride of Lucifer, and it's another area.
So she got saved, and she knew she needed to get rid of that excess baggage.
Yeah, and she was tormented. Well, as with virtually everyone, the doorways are different, but a lot of hers had to do with unforgiveness toward her parents and the people who had done some of this abuse to her. But we worked through that over a few months, and when I got there, I was expecting to sit in with this minister and pray and hopefully learn something, but it was not my intention to do it. And she was so excited about being free. And I told her, I said, Kathy, I'm going to do what Jesus did. I'm going to bind demon spirits, and I'm going to command them to leave you. Well, it got real tense. The look in her eyes, I don't think I had ever seen that much evil in anyone's eyes right before we started. And I felt, you know, some fear trying to come over me, but there was a strong anointing, and I just rebuked it immediately, no fear. And but as I began to bind demons, she trembled, and there was, you know, it was obvious they were present. And I commanded them to reveal their name. And the scripture that kept coming to my mind was Jesus said, "Who are you?" to the Gadarian. And that's what I commanded, is, "Who are you?" And they began to give me names through her voice. But as I would get the names, and I just bound them and commanded them to leave her. And they did. So it was about a three-hour process. And like I said, it was the most dramatic of any that I've had. Most of them are just not much more than prayer. But I remember walking out of that prison that day, and I had a red Bible in my hand. And I stood on the steps of that prison and held the Bible up high over my head. And I said, "Yes, yes, in the name of Jesus, yes." And I from that experience, we've had probably 25,000 deliverances since then.
Well, Don, let's just go back to the woman you were talking about. I believe her name was Kathy. What happened to her? Did she get out of prison? Did she stay out?
Actually, after the deliverance, we stayed in touch with her and sent her materials and encouraging letters and so on, and put her in touch with some people there in Kingston, Ontario. And Kathy was released from prison maybe a couple of years after that deliverance. She's been out since. The whole time.
But there are people that are listening to us right now, and they're saying, "Kathy was a Christian. How could she have a demon?" What would your answer be?
You know, that's my number one question, is how can you have the Holy Spirit and also have a demon? And that's a good, valid question. It's one that I struggled with. But, you know, Sid, and obviously this is something you know, everyone that Jesus dealt with, virtually everyone he dealt with, were believers. They were Jewish believers. So every believer can have a demon, or any believer could have a demon living in the soulish area or in the flesh. Not in the spirit, that's where the Holy Spirit lives. So, but that's some of the conflict that the Bible talks about, is the flesh warring against the spirit and so on, but we don't even minister to lost people in deliverance. With lost people, we want them to be saved.
Well, you know, the analogy I like to use is: can someone born again get a cold? Can someone born again get sick? And the answer is yes, and there are spirits of infirmity. Mm-hmm. So that's acceptable. Why not the demonic? Speaking of the demonic, what are some of the clues that someone may be harassed in the demonic? What are some of the areas of one's life to look at? For instance, in your book, you have 60 symptoms of demonic attack and how to close those doors. Why don't you tell us a few?
Well, okay. The obvious things are the areas of irrational fears, irrational anger, tormenting areas of a person's life, nightmares. Nightmares are probably a big signal, although there can be other reasons. And this is the difficult part, is knowing whether it's the flesh or a demon influencing the flesh. But generally, when something is in the area of torment, it's demonic. There are so many symptoms that also could be something else. But I think most people already know where they're tormented. The area of mental torment and anguish, and rejection. Rejection is such a great area of torment and worthlessness and hopelessness. You know, you can say depression, but there are some areas that are physical depression that wouldn't necessarily be a demon. But those, the typical things in our questionnaire, is pretty much like a medical background form, where we look into the ancestry of a person, what kind of sins were in the ancestry.
A lot of people miss that. They don't understand what are known as generational curses that could occur four generations back, but you pay the price unless you can know how to close that door.
Yeah. And, you know, and the verse that we get a lot with people that I never argue or try to persuade anybody about this, because this is always a truth encounter. It's just about truth. And so in the area of generational curse, I don't have a clue what my great-great-grandparents might have been.
Okay, I'll tell you what. Hold that thought right there, because we're going to find out how the Holy Spirit is so wonderful, and someone can go through self-deliverance. They can pray for others to be delivered. I mean, your book is so inclusive. It's a brand-new book just off the press. The title is When Pigs Move In. And we're also including a bonus CD of this radio interview with extra teaching and a special prayer of deliverance. And I love that vision you had way back before you got into deliverance, that they saw oil splashing off of you, and that oil caused evil to splash off of other people. And I happen to believe that that oil is all over this book. So the book is called When Pigs Move In, plus the special bonus CD. We're making both available for a donation of $25. This is a brand new book. This is a must book for mentoring. It's so simplistic. It's really an inclusive book. So I urge you to get this book. It's maybe not for yourself, but for someone, for a loved one. There's so many doors that must be closed. And once they're closed, you'll experience freedom. We're making the book and the bonus CD available for a donation of $25. The title of the book, When Pigs Move In.
For he himself is our peace,
who has made both Jew
and Gentile into one,
and broke down the barrier of the dividing wall.
His purpose was to create in himself
one new man.
Sid Roth has found the key to worldwide revival. This is God's time to reach the Jewish people with his love. Messiah Jesus has torn down the wall dividing Jew and Gentile. The two together form one new man to reach the world. God's method to reach the Jewish people is through signs and wonders. This is why our website, sidroth.org, is jam-packed with tools to equip you to move in signs and wonders, understand Israel, and the Jewish roots of the church. Log on to sidroth.org today.
If you would like to receive a complimentary copy of our bi-monthly teaching newsletter, materials catalog, or information about becoming Mishpucha or Chalutzim, write to me, Sid Roth, Post Office Box 1918, Brunswick, Georgia, 31521, or call our order-only line, 1-800-447-2697. To place a credit card order, call anytime, 1-800-447-2697. For all other calls, the number is 912-265-2500. That's 912-265-2500. For a cassette tape or CD of this week's broadcast, send a donation of $10 or more to Sid Roth, that's S-I-D-R-O-T-H, Post Office Box 1918, Brunswick, Georgia, 31521. To see our television show, It's Supernatural, or our archives, or subscribe to our radio and TV podcasts, look us up on the web at www.sidroth.org. That's www.sidroth.org.